If you have your Bibles, you can turn with me to Jeremiah chapter 29. We'll be starting there in verse 1 here this evening. You know, it's kind of funny. It felt a little weird coming over to this building on a Sunday night because I'm always over there. And when I came over, I thought, I don't even know how they open service over here on a Sunday night. And so I asked Steve and I asked Marty and was trying to figure out what exactly I needed to do this evening because I wasn't exactly sure how I even opened service. But it's great to be with you this evening, to have a little bit of change of pace this evening and share the Word of God with you. Really excited to just be with you and to see what God has to say to us this evening. Amen. Looking here, before we get to the text, I thought about God as our Father. God is our protective Father. You know, even when we are unaware that God is protecting us, He is still protecting us. An example of this is any situation in your life when He has used an unlikely or even possibly evil situation and He has used it for good. I know each of you can tell stories in your life when evil had befallen you. We think of the psalmist David often talking about the evil that had befallen his life. And many of you can think of the situations where evil situations have came into your life or unlikely situations have come into your life and our Heavenly Father used it for good. Looking back on many of the plans that most of us have made over the past several years, you know, we kind of realized through the COVID pandemic and everything else that God can quickly make our plans change. As we look at those sorts of things, we have to be aware that God sees the big picture, even when we don't. So I want to ask you a question before we get into the Word this evening. And I want to ask you the question of, have you ever been guilty of expecting the world to revolve around you? I think many of us could probably say we've been guilty of making the world revolve around us. But let's look at the Word of God here. Jeremiah chapter 29, starting there in verse 1, reading all the way to verse 15. This evening, says this. Now these are the words of the letter that Jeremiah the prophet sent from Jerusalem unto the residue of the elders which were carried away captives, and to the priests and to the prophets, and to all the people whom Nebuchadnezzar had carried away captive from Jerusalem to Babylon. After that, Jeconiah, the king, and the queen, and the eunuchs, the princes of Judah and Jerusalem, and the carpenters, and the smiths were departed from Jerusalem by the hand of Eliza, the son of Shaphan, and Jemariah, the son of Hikkah, whom Zebediah, the king of Judah, sent into Babylon to Nebuchadnezzar, king of Babylon, saying, Thus saith the Lord of hosts, the God of Israel, and to all that are carried away captives, whom I have caused to be carried away from Jerusalem unto Babylon, build ye houses and dwell in them, and plant gardens and eat the fruit of them. Take ye wives and beget sons and daughters, and take wives from your sons, and give your daughters to husbands, that they may bear sons and daughters, that ye may be increased there and not diminished. And seek the peace of the city, whither I have caused you to be carried away captives, and pray unto the Lord for it. For in the peace thereof shall ye have peace. For thus saith the Lord of hosts, the God of Israel, let not your prophets and your diviners that be in the midst of you deceive you, neither hearken to your dreams which ye cause to be dreamed, for they prophesy falsely unto you in my name. I have not sent them, saith the Lord. For thus saith the Lord, that after 70 years be accomplished at Babylon, I will visit you and perform my good word toward you in causing you to return to this place. For For I know the thoughts that I think toward you, saith the Lord, thoughts of peace and not of evil, to give you an expected end. Then shall ye call upon me, and ye shall go and pray unto me, and I will hearken unto you. And ye shall seek me and find me, when ye shall search for me with all your heart. And I will be found of you, saith the Lord, and I will turn away your captivity, and I will gather you from all the nations and from all the places whither I have driven you, saith the Lord. And I will bring you again into the place whence I caused you to be carried away captive, because ye have said, the Lord hath raised us up prophets in Babylon. Let's pray. Father God, as we come before you on this Sunday evening that you've given us, Father, we just want to thank you for your word today. And Father, we want to thank you that in all that we may do, in all the failures that we may carry, Father, it's not on us. We're insignificant in the grand scheme of things. Father, that you are the one who should be glorified in each and everything that we do today. And Father, I pray today that as we look at our lives, that we not become guilty of thinking that we're something special today, Father, but that we would realize that you are the one to be praised. Father, in all that we do on this beautiful day, would we praise your most holy name. We say this in your most kind and gracious heavenly name. Amen. I want to introduce the scripture this evening by addressing the elephant in the room. And that is that God does not promise us earthly prosperity. You see, we always hear Jeremiah 29:11, right? And we always hear it in the light of God sees the plans for my future and he's going to carry out these wonderful plans in my life. And he is. That's not what I'm saying. But sometimes we project the wrong light onto it. That God is going to give us all of our wildest dreams because he sees the plans he has for us. But rather, Chapter 29, verse 11, was God talking about those that were being delivered from exile from Nebuchadnezzar. And we look at Jeremiah 29:11 once again, and we really read it, we'll kind of understand this a little more. It says this, "For I know the thoughts that I think towards you, saith the Lord, thoughts of peace and not of evil, to give you an expected end." So I really think people tend to mistreat this verse, to say that Christ will bring us earthly prosperity, when in fact it was a direct letter to those captives. When interpreting the scriptures in context, we really shift the interpretation of Jeremiah 29:11. It's no longer about God blessing me immensely because I deserve it, but it is rather God delivering those in exile from Nebuchadnezzar. So in other words, in our darkest days, in our ugliest days, in the biggest nightmares that we may face, when we trust Christ with our heart, he will deliver us. Now, that's not to say that we will get every wish we ever desired. Unfortunately, many, I think, do tend to believe that earthly prosperity belongs to them as Christians. But as a child of Christ, the reality is that it may not always be easy. The reality is that sometimes it's going to hurt. Sometimes the world around us is going to crumble, right? And sometimes the bodies that we have are going to fall apart. And sometimes the bones we have will break. And everything's not always going to be perfect. You see, yes, God sees the plans he has for us, but the promise we can rely on is the promise for an eternity with him. He never promises us earthly prosperity. You see, because when we think about seeking earthly prosperity, it becomes about us. We're a Christian because what can I get out of the deal? But that would be a bad way to look at it, wouldn't it? The message for us today is that he can do the same thing he done. He can do it again. The truth is that we have such trust, we should have such trust in the Lord, rather, that we know wherever we're going to be planted, wherever He's going to plant us at and put us at, wherever He has us at in our life of this world, we should know we're going to praise Him even if it hurts. We can be thankful that the Lord has plans for us even when they're not the plans that we have necessarily desired. You see, for the exiled people, they were facing many questions. They were being forced to go to a foreign land, and they certainly wondered, where is God? You see, how is it that they could maintain proper worship to their Lord if they didn't have a temple to praise Him in? That would have been some of the thoughts. Or how were they to praise God in such dire circumstances? Any of the familiar means in which they used to praise their God had been ripped from them as they were placed into exile. How can we still serve Him? Something we can learn is that God wants for us to not necessarily just praise Him in the good. But even in the hardest of times, the people in exile had to learn to praise their Savior. So in this time of uncertainty, the prophet Jeremiah wrote to the remaining elders of the exiles in question. And I'm paraphrasing a little bit, but he essentially said, build houses and live in them, plant gardens and multiply. So Jeremiah tells them basically, begin again, continue your life the best you can, even though the life you knew prior to exile is no longer and you've been ripped from it. Praise the Lord. So the question really for us today is, do we really think that those who had been in exile, do we really look at them and think that they didn't have questions of the direction of their life, the trajectory of their life? That's the reason Jeremiah 29:11 came into existence to start with, was because they had questions of the trajectory of their life, and Jeremiah knew that, and God knew that. And so God inspired Jeremiah to remind them that He knew the plans for their life. Imagine it in the way of this. Sure things that they were used to weren't going to be the same anymore. The lives that they had built weren't going to be the same anymore. But they had to continue, as Jeremiah said, to build their life and to praise God in it. So here's where things get interesting for us. See, we only see Jeremiah 29:11 as the verse that everyone quotes in which God will provide our needs. But now that we have true context and true understanding of that verse, we can understand that verse 7 makes a lot more sense to us. Let me flip my Bible back over and read verse 7 to us. Verse 7 says this, "And seek the peace of the city whither I have caused you to be carried away captives, and pray unto the Lord for it, for in the peace thereof shall ye have peace." In the Hebrew, the word peace is translated shalom, meaning prosperity. So in rewording that, our verse could say, seeking prosperity in the city. Think of that. Seeking prosperity in the city. In other words, seek to do good here. Seek to be content. Seek to be happy where God has placed you, where God has planted you. You know, the truth is, we have a bad habit sometimes of being discontent. We have a bad habit of not enjoying where God has placed us, not praising Him where He has placed us, and not even wanting to live life where He has placed us. But in reality, where He has placed us is exactly where He wants us to be. So we have learned now that chapter 29 has went from a belief that God gives to us because we deserve. Instead, it is something now that comes a little depressing maybe for us, that even in the hardest of situations, even in their lives were changed, those in exile had to find a way to praise God. They have to prosper and they have to be content where they are. You see, we have the same obligation where God has placed us today. We are to seek to be prosperous. We are to seek contentment. And most of all, we are seeking to praise our Lord. You see, the interesting part is, we're not even at the end of this story with verse 7. The end part of verse 7 explains the rest is basically saying, when you aren't content and prosperous, and you feel in despair of the situation, Jeremiah tells them basically to pray for peace, and you shall be given peace. In verse 10, Jeremiah presents to us some motivation from the Lord. Jeremiah says this in verse 10, "For thus saith the Lord, that after 70 years be accomplished at Babylon, I will visit you and perform my good word toward you and causing you to return to this place." Guess what? When we commit to the plan that God has for us, just like He delivered them from exile, He'll deliver us from exile. You know, we have a promise that those who have not chosen to follow Christ don't necessarily have. We have a promise that we are going to go to heaven and worship and praise Him and spend eternity with our Father. But that's not a promise everyone on this earth has, friends. And in that promise, we should be excited that even in our darkest days, even in the hardest days, we know where our hope is. Because we've committed to God, we've committed to His plan, we've committed to His purpose, and He will deliver us from our exile eventually, even if it's not until we depart this earth and go to heaven with Him. You know, there's a secret to this that many don't tell us. You see, when it comes to a Christian, when it comes to being a Christian, it doesn't always feel good. You know, we like to think that when we become saved, we have this, we all have experienced it, right? This wonderful feeling upon salvation. We like to think it always feels that exciting. And it always feels that wonderful. But sometimes being a Christian hurts a little bit. You see, our benefit doesn't mean the world's riches. It doesn't mean the world's praises. It doesn't mean the world's glory. And because it doesn't mean those things, it means that when we go out into this world, we're going to receive some hard times. It means that when we go to the world and we look around and we live this life, that even though we have hope for a future, we're going to experience a day or two here and there that really stink. Just to be plain and simple. That really stink. You know, we can have hope for tomorrow because our Lord will certainly deliver us, but those days are still going to sting sometimes. So, how can we apply these great words of Jeremiah and of our Lord to our lives today? Let's look at verses 11 through 15 again with a little contextual wisdom of this passage. I'm going to go ahead, and I know it's a few verses here, but I want to go ahead and look at them again. Those verses 11 through 15, they said, "For I know the thoughts that I think towards you, saith the Lord, thoughts of peace, not of evil, to give you an expected end. Then shall ye call upon me, and ye shall go and pray unto me, and I will hearken unto you. And ye shall seek me and find me, when ye shall search for me with all your heart. And I will be found of you, saith the Lord, and I will turn away your captivity, and I will gather you from all the nations and from all the places whither I have driven you, saith the Lord. And I will bring you again into the place whence I caused you to be carried away captive, because ye have said, the Lord hath raised us up prophets in Babylon. See, now we have the idea of who is talking and who they're talking to. We know Jeremiah, and we know that he's talking to the exile from Babylon. And we know that in that, we can understand that the situation was of great change and great uncertainty. So, these five verses, which are often used for graduations, you'll hear them out a lot, because it's the future, right? And there's nothing necessarily wrong with that, or career changes, or whatever other situation may be in our lives. But now we can understand, really, the context of these verses, that is not necessarily an opportunity for prosperity, but it's an opportunity for us to praise our Lord. For God to simply give us our heart's desire is not found in these verses. Rather, it's for God to pull us through the bumpiest of roads and the hardest of days, and that we would do so bringing Him glory. The power that should be in that for us. See, that's an opportunity for us. Imagine you out in this world, and you're having a rough day, a really rough day. And everyone around you, everything's went wrong, right? You know, I spilled coffee on my shirt this morning before we had to come into worship service, and I thought, no, not today. But imagine, we had a rough day, right? And we're out in this world around us, we spilled coffee on our shirt, and, you know, we've stepped in the mud puddle and got mud all over us, and everything seems like it's going wrong. And everyone around us has seen everything going wrong. But we find a way to praise God in that. Imagine the testimony that that is in our lives. That in the hardest of days, we're praising our Lord. We're taking the opportunity to acknowledge where our God has brought us to, what He has promised us, what He has delivered us from. That we are going to go through our hearts prosperous in the way, not of earthly possessions, but of our promises from our God. We're going to go through our life with a joyous heart because of the promises from our God. And just like those exiled, even if we have to learn how to worship all over again, we're going to find a way because of the promises of our God. So, what do we have to do? You see, we need to stay content. We need to stay focused today on bringing Christ glory. Nothing was going to be the same for those who were exiled. The world around them was changing. Jeremiah's words to them in this exile, think of this. Can you imagine being in their shoes, being exiled, and a guy like Jeremiah writing you a letter saying, be content, basically. That one must have stung a little bit. I wouldn't have wanted to be content. But that's what he told them. Be content. Be prayerful. Trust that God will use this for good. And see, that's where our biggest glory comes from today, is that we know that even in the hardest situations, that God can use it for good. That wherever we are, whatever we are doing, we have our focus on Him because we know what He's capable of. We know what He can do. We know what He has done. And because we know what He has done, we can have hope for a future, just like Jeremiah tells us. Because our hope for a future is not in what may happen on this earth. Our hope for our future is not what may happen tomorrow or next week or next month or the next 10 years. Our hope for a future is what happens in eternity. When we spend eternity with our Savior, how wonderful that will be. I close with this little thought. You may say, Brandon, why would I care if God uses my situation for good? Well, see, that's a good question. You care because the good that He is doing in and through you will advance the gospel message, and it will give another opportunity for someone to know Christ. The life that you're living each day, you may shed a light that someone may come to the saving knowledge of Christ. I pray today that the lives you live, even in the hardest days, would be a testimony of what God has done in your life. Let's pray. Father God, as we come before you, and Father, just reminded of the wondrous work that you have done in our life and the promise that you have given us for an eternity in heaven with you. And Father, I'm just thankful today that, like those exiled, you have given us a humbling call to praise you in our hardest days. And Father, I pray today that we would do just that. That as we would go throughout our week, our month, Father, our life. And Father, those hard days, they're going to come. But Father, I just pray today. I pray that when those hard days come, you've equipped us and shown us how to handle it today. And Father, I pray that our life would be a living testimony unto you. Father, that people would look to us and see that you, something's different about them. Father, that they would see that you dwell within us. And Father, I just pray today. Father, maybe there's one here who they say, when I have the hard days, I become grouchy, I become frustrated at the world. Father, if there's one here, and that's the way they feel, Father, maybe they're under conviction for that today. Would you just stir in their heart? And Father, would they come today and would they pray for those situations that you would direct them in them? Father, maybe there's one here who just needs you in their life. Maybe there's one here who sees those around them and they know that they need salvation. And Father, they just want to live a little bit more like you so that they could show them salvation. Father, would they come today? Father, I say this in your most kind and gracious heavenly name. Amen. Brother Marty.